again. Well, good evening, everybody. Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here on the Monday night program. How you doing? Is today the winter solstice or is it tomorrow? I think it's today. No, it's tomorrow. What's the day today? This is the 21st. No, I guess it's today. We are going to have a winter solstice celebration on the program on Wednesday night. Christians can join in and celebrate their holiday. And if you're Jewish or Muslim, you can join in and do whatever you want to do. But Wednesday night will be the Christmas program. And we have a doozy for you. I have to tell you, we have a Christmas version of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe that you're going to love. I promise you. Also, a reading about the winter solstice, courtesy of Bridget Wolf, who is one of our ethics advisors on this program. And what else do we have? Oh, yeah, Oh Holy Nightmare. The night before Christmas with Molly. She's getting older now, so she I'm sure she'll want to read some of it. And some other stuff, plus a lot of music of the season. And for those of you listening online, the incidental music that we're playing there, little bits and pieces, is Sting's new album. Well, sort of a Christmas album, more like a winter solstice album. If you were watching television late Sunday night, was it Sunday night, Kathy, when they passed the cloture vote, 60-40, you saw the Senate Democrats essentially close the deal on this health care bill. I'm trying to figure out where the death panels are. I want to see the death panels. I want to know when the death panels are going to be set up. That's the Republican, Charles Grassley and Sarah Palin, the rest of them, and Glenn Beck, the psychopath. I want to see the death panel. Where are they? God damn it. I want to see death panels. They promised me death panels. Anyway, the Republicans are just wetting their pants about all the deals that Harry Reid had to cut with individual senators. Like, oh, let me think of one. I got one, Ben Nelson. And frankly, I don't care. I've got all kinds of reservations. You know my feeling about this this health reform, health insurance reform bill that's been passed. The one I would like to see is the complete socialization of medicine in this country, or healthcare in this country, I should say, not medicine, healthcare availability with single payer healthcare, not government run healthcare like in the UK, but single payer. I would like to see that. I think that what was passed is a kick in the cojones to the Republicans, which in anything, I am that twisted and sick now. This is what Republicans have done to me in the past 10 years. I am so twisted that any kind of win for the people who still call themselves Democrats, I know, they're just Republican. I know, I understand. But the Republican leadership is just peeing all over itself, all over the halls of the Senate. They're just going berserk about this. And I have to admit that that gives me great and glorious pleasure, even though I don't agree with the bill that's been passed. Oh, but anyway, the Democratic leadership had to provide all sorts of goodies to get the Democrats to vote yes on this health bill. And I love listening to the Republicans scream about that, right? Oh, my God. Scream, you little weasels. Scream, you little weasels. Go ahead. You got your privates caught in the screen door, don't you? Too bad. Scream, you little weasels. I'm sorry. I am that crazed that I enjoy hearing the squealing and the screaming. And the looks on these bastards' faces. We at 1 o'clock in the morning, we watched Mitch McConnell stand there and whining about, oh, this is being done at midnight. Oh, you dumb bastard, it's being done at midnight because you and your cohorts made it be done at midnight. Well, read Kathy's blog today. She pretty much lays it out. Go to MikeMolloy.com. Kathy's the thingy is there, her blog. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But something occurred to me. Am I right? Were Abraham and Sarah brother and sister? Was the man who the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims claim as the father of their religion, Did he have incestuous relations with his sister and vice versa? Are these three religions based on incest and all three religions are against same-sex marriage? Well, what? Am I wrong about this? Somebody help me. I don't have time to look it up. I just don't. But Abraham and Sarah, weren't they brother and sister? Can I get an amen? Can I get a little research real quick? Abraham and Sarah, I believe they were. I think. If so, then are we to believe that these three great religions that will go to the mat about same-sex marriage are religions based on incest? So it's okay to do your brother or your sister, literally, but it's not okay to be the same sex and get married? Oh, my God. Oh, now what? Broken stream link. What does that mean? Listening to xylophone music? Oh, my God. Is it connected? Oh, okay. We ought to check this stuff before we go on the air, you know? That would be good. Okay. All right. If you're listening online, hopefully you can hear... You can hear the program now. But I just need somebody to check for me and tell me, were Abraham and Sarah, the biblical Abraham and Sarah, really brother and sister? If they were, then are we to conclude that the three peoples of the book based their religions on incest? Tell me it's not so. Getting back to this this healthcare stuff for a few minutes, the Senate Democrats, stapled the agreement together. It's all there, and now they are determined to get everything passed by Christmas Eve. Of course, the Republicans, like I say, they're screaming like men who have gone to the public bathroom and got a very important part of their anatomy caught in the zipper when they're trying to zip up. It's just there's something about listening to this, though, the squealing that is so pleasant to me. The legislation is being called the most significant overhaul of the nation's healthcare system more than a generation, and it will extend health benefits to more than 30 million uninsured Americans. Yada yada yada. You know the drill. You know what this is. You know what this is all about. So anyway, Ben Nelson finally sold his vote after winning restrictions on insurance coverage for abortions. Oh, my God. Okay, Ben. And he also got an increased federal health care aid for his state, Medicaid, actually, which, you know, I don't have any problem with. Sure, if Ben Nelson has to cut a deal for his vote to get Medicaid for his state, fine. What does it mean? It means that people who are being sliced and diced by this filthy Bush economy that continues on forever on the horizon, we'll get a chance to get some medical care. Senator Nelson, warned that he would oppose the final version, if negotiations with the House, which have to occur now, you know, the, reconciliation of these two, the conference committee, they call it, where they get together and work out the details. But he's threatening to change his vote, if the conference committee comes up with changes that he doesn't like. Son of a bitch. So what we have here, we have 60 senators, all Democrats who have agreed to this so far, and each one of them can bring this to an end. Each single Democratic senator. Now, this is insane. This is madness. It's insane to require a supermajority to begin with. That's not in the Constitution. A filibuster's not in the Constitution. Every time you hear one of these right-wing freakoids talk about going back to the Constitution, ask them about giving up the filibuster, and they won't know what the hell you're talking about. A little bit more on this when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
No more sorrow. Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Okay, thanks, everybody. It's in Genesis 20, verse 12. Sarah was the half-sister of Abraham. She was the daughter of Abraham's father, Terah, T-E-R-A-H. So they were half-brother and half-sister. They had different mothers, but the same father. So it is true, then, I don't know, unless you want to split hairs, that all three peoples of the book had the religion based on incestuous relations back at the very beginning. This is crazy stuff. I mean, it really is. Now, as far as, who can you sleep with? Who can you get pregnant? Who can you, back in the day, all those thousands of years ago, I guess the choices were sort of narrow, right? But the point of all this is not to embarrass the Jews, Muslims, and Christians. I think your stories are very interesting, but the point is, these are the same three groups who insist on the sanctity of marriage. And if you go back to the founder of the three faiths, the sanctity of marriage included brothers and sisters getting married. So, go figure. I don't know. It's madness. Back to the same stuff. Healthcare reform, or health insurance reform. New York Times writes, because the Democrats nominally control 60 seats in the Senate, that's because two are independents, the precise number needed to overcome a Republican filibuster, every senator in the Democratic caucus effectively now has veto power over the bill. No Republican, of course, is going to support it. Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, said, quote, the lines are drawn, mofo. Barack Obama's got to get 60 votes. If he doesn't get 60 votes, the American people win. If he does get 60, America's payback will come in the form of the 2010 elections. My God, what kind of sick thing produces Republican legislators? It's astonishing. Astonishing. Well, anyway, last Tuesday, the Democrats, they had that famous or infamous meeting with Barack Obama. And when the meeting was done, some of the senators pointed to remarks made there by Senator Evan Bayh, the Democrat of Indiana. Bayh said that the health care measure was the kind of public policy he'd come to Washington to work on, and that he didn't want to see the satisfied looks on the faces of Republicans if they succeeded in blocking the measure. So, the measure is going to extend health benefits by expanding Medicaid and providing subsidies to help moderate income people buy private insurance. And of course, the fly in the ointment, one of the many flies in the ointment to me, this legislation require nearly all Americans to get insurance or pay financial penalties for failing to do so. I'm hoping that over the next 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years, this will be tinkered with. Let's remember that, and I'm not defending it, I'm just saying, when Social Security was first passed, when all of these essential social welfare programs were passed, they were passed in raw form, always without Republican support, by the way. And then over the years, if not decades, they were tinkered with, they were fine-tuned until they got to the point where they make some sense for the country. Now, in place of the public option that liberals demanded, the Senate bill will create at least two national insurance plans modeled after those offered to federal workers, including members of Congress. The bill includes a new government-run long-term care insurance program, and it imposes new regulations on the health insurance industry, barring insurers from denying coverage on pre-existing medical conditions. Even to a cynical bastard like me, that provision, I think, is very important. The insurance companies have, health insurance companies have up to this point been able to select whomever they wanted and discharge or deny insurance to whomever they wanted based on so-called pre-existing conditions. If this legislation eliminates that, well, good. I say good. Now, the amendment also includes the Bill Nelson amendment, let's call it, strictly for Nebraska, a special extension of increased federal contributions to the cost of expanding Medicaid, the state federal insurance program for the poor. And again, I don't have a problem with that. If these are baby steps, incremental steps to getting to the point of single payer health care in this country, if it happens 10 years from now because of this legislation, good. So I got all my objections. I think the whole idea sucks. I think it should have been single payer from the get-go. But if this is the best that can happen, then this is the best that can happen, right? We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. It is the Malloy program. Email here from to comment, whatever. Mike, sorry to burst your bubble here, but Reform Judaism, the largest branch in the USA with more than 900 congregations and 1.5 million people, came out in support of same-sex civil marriage in 1996. There are openly gay Reform rabbis and congregations all over the country. Please don't paint us all with one brush. Okay, I shall not do that. I appreciate the elucidation regarding Reform Judaism. I wish that certain branches, Reform Christianity and Reform Islam, would do the same. The only... I'm not trying to be a smartass here to my emailer, but, you know, same-sex civil civil marriage. I believe all marriage should be civil. But I don't think Reform Judaism, I may be wrong, and if I am, I'm sure my emailer will correct me. I don't think Reform Judaism will perform under the chuppah or whatever. No, that's Greek. Will perform a same-sex marriage within the... sanctuary of the temple. That's splitting hairs, and I'm being an ass for bringing that up. Anyway, I appreciate the email about Reform Judaism. Thank you. What else we got in this health thing? Of course, Republicans swore on their mother's graves, which they helped put mom into. On Sunday, they will continue to fight against health insurance reform. Some of them are starting to acknowledge that their chances of stopping Senate passage are slim and none, but they're going to keep going anyway because that's the nature of obstructionists. I don't care. You know, Democrats simply don't do this. They don't. And they should. I think they should. If this would have been done during the Bush years, I think a lot of the hell that we're going through right now would not be occurring. I just wish Bill Clinton would have been an obstructionist when that bill came across his desk to sign regarding the end of the Glass-Steagall Act, which brought us two and possibly three financial collapses coming, two already, and now we're into the third. Or the third may be on the horizon, the collapse of the real estate market. So I wish Bill Clinton would have been an obstructionist, but Bill Clinton was, you know, he just wanted his daddy's approval. Of course, daddy was dead by then, so I guess he saw daddy as Newt Gingrich. I have no idea. These people, I wish all of these people who want to run for president would be required. Yeah, I know. Required. It should be in the Constitution. Anyone who wants to run for president has to do at least a decade of therapy. At least 10 years of psychotherapy, and then have submit the findings by the therapist or group of therapists to a panel of uber therapists who would then look at the results of the 10 years of therapy, where the patient started, where the client started and where the client wound up, and then make a determination that the American public could either acknowledge or ignore. This candidate who wants to be president of the United States is a real sick son of a bitch who has not improved at all. I think that would be a grand idea. And, of course, we would just have a fund that would pay for that, you know. Asked whether he and his fellow Republicans would yet block the bill, John McCain of Arizona said, probably not. We'll fight the good fight. We'll fight until the last vote, as he flapped his arms on Fox News Sunday. The final vote is scheduled for December 24th. Yes, it is, December 24th. Senator John Kyle, a psychopathic Republican from Arizona, was on Sunday ABC's This Week and said that Democrats were using the imminent Christmas holiday to force a quick vote on a bill that he said Democrats were trying to sell on an artifice. What? All these sons of bitches are just hysterically amusing, if it weren't for the fact that they're in their comedic actions, they're destroying the country. They're destroying the political system. But it's so funny, you know, some pig like Kyle. Oh, the Christmas holiday. The Democrats are cause they're using it. They're hiding behind the baby Jesus in the manger and Mary and Joseph and yada, yada, yada. Oh, my God. They just don't stop, do they? They just don't stop. Well, I know you're at the same point that I'm at. This is just wildly hysterical to watch, especially. The reaction of these Republicans. You know, this bill is essentially, it's going to help some people. Yes, it will. It's going to help some American citizens. But this is a massive Christmas present to the health insurance industry. The ones that actually own the souls of every one of these filthy Democrats in the Senate. The health insurance industry and a couple other corporate organizations own these bastards. They might as well be bots of some sort, you know, cybots or insurance bots. They're not real human beings. You know that yourself. You listen to some of these people, these Republican senators and representatives. You know they're not human. If you lop their head off and reach into their neck, you would come up with a handful of wires and resistors and chips and all kinds of stuff. But it's highly entertaining and amusing to watch them. The insurance industry, in the meantime, is sitting back there saying, well, should we stop them? No, just let them keep going. It confuses the American public even more. Yeah, but, you know, we're the insurance industry. We're getting what we want. Jesus Christ, we're getting 35 million customers handed to us. I know, we are. But let the Republicans yelp and whine and pee themselves. It doesn't matter. We're the insurance industry. You know, our little dogs are doing fine in the Senate, on both sides of the aisle. But especially the Republicans. Let them pee on each other's legs. It doesn't matter. But isn't it embarrassing, the health insurance industry says, that our little cybots in the Senate are acting as though this is not a gift to us? Well, they're just trying to cover themselves. They're trying to divert attention and pretend like they don't really love it. You mean they love it? Well, hell yeah, Mitch McConnell. Did you see him standing there the other night, Sunday night, looking like he just had to go to the bathroom? That was because he was just beside himself with real joy. It's a payoff to those of us who put his bearded ass in there. Oh, I get it. It's so confusing. Yeah, confusing. Well, if you think that's confusing, there's a movie you ought to see. Who's in that, Kathy? Philip Seymour Hoffman. Movie Synecdoche. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Synecdoche, New York. Not to be confused with Schenectady, New York. If you haven't seen that movie, I watched that last night for over 2 hours. And when I finally stopped watching it, I couldn't tell up from down. But it gave me insight into the minds of these Republican senators and representatives. Yeah, if you haven't seen that movie, don't. Just let it go. Paul Krugman, today in the New York Times, points out what you and I know. First of all, he says he considers the passage of this an awesome achievement. Then he goes on to say it's a seriously flawed bill that we'll spend years, if not decades, fixing, but it's nonetheless a huge step forward. And then he goes on to write about the fact that since it was such a weird event in the Senate, shows that the Senate, and therefore the U.S. government as a whole, has become ominously dysfunctional. Well, yes, it has, hasn't it? He says, after all, Democrats won big last year running on a platform that put health insurance reform front and center. In any other advanced democracy, this would have given them the mandate and the ability to make major changes. But the need for 60 votes to cut off Senate debate and end a filibuster, a requirement that appears nowhere in the Constitution, turned what should have been a straightforward piece of legislating into a nail biter and gave a handful of wavering senators extraordinary power to shape this so far final bill. It's certainly not over yet. It has to go to conference committee now. But Krugman is right. Every time one of these little pants-sweating Republicans start screeching about the Constitution, we got to return to the Constitution, and you get a chance to confront them, just say, are you talking about ending the filibuster then, you little dweeb, or are you talking about something else? We'll be right back.
I'm too afraid to use the phone. I'm too afraid to put the light on. I'm so afraid I've lost control. I'm suffocating without a word. Crazy with
Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Now, as Krugman points out today in the New York Times, consider what lies ahead. He says we need fundamental financial reform. We need to deal with climate change. We need to deal with our long-run budget deficit. What are the chances we can do that, all that, or any of it, if doing anything requires 60 votes in a deeply polarized Senate? Some people will say it's always been this way, but a political scientist named Barbara Sinclair did the math. In the 1960s, she finds that so-called extended debate-related problems, in other words, a filibuster, threatened or actual, affected only 8% of major legislation in the 60s. By the 1980s, it had risen to 27%. After Democrats took control of Congress in 2006, the Republicans found themselves in the minority, and the threat of filibuster soared to 70%. So, let's not get all weird about the Bush years. Some conservatives say that the Senate's rules didn't stop Bush from getting things done, but that's misleading, as Krugman points out, on two levels. First, Bush-era Democrats weren't nearly as determined to frustrate the majority party at any cost as Obama-era Republicans are. Democrats never did anything like what Republicans did last week. Republican senators held up spending for the Defense Department, which is on the verge of running out of money, in an attempt to delay action on health care. Bastards. And keep in mind that Bush was a buy-now-pay-later president. He pushed through big tax cuts, but he never tried to pass spending cuts to make up for the revenue loss. He rushed the nation into war, but never asked Congress to pay for it. He added an expensive drug benefit in Medicare, but left it completely unfunded, right? Remember, the Constitution sets up the Senate as a body with majority rule, not supermajority. So that rule of 60 can be changed simply by changing Senate rules. You don't have to change the Constitution at all. Bastards. Steve in Dallas writes, Mike, if the health insurance reform bill passes, the Republicans are afraid that it may be the end of the Reaganist philosophy that has dominated this country for so long. That's why they're fighting so hard. You know, tax cuts for the rich and screw everybody else. If this bill passes, Steve writes, the Republicans are terrified that the Democrats will be emboldened to start undoing all the evil that's been done to this country over the past 30 years. In his blog today, Krugman put it this way, quote, Matthew Iglesias makes a good point. The health care bill represents a return, after 15 years, to the idea that Congress should be trying to pass major legislation that tackles major national problems. And even beyond that, it restores an even longer lost tradition of Congress trying to pass major legislation on specifically progressive priorities. More than that, Krugman writes, it represents a rejection of the view that the solution for all problems is cut taxes and remove regulations. In that sense, Krugman concludes, what's happening now, for all the disappointment it represents for progressives, is an historic moment, end quote. Steve adds, let's hope this turns out to be true. Our country is in desperate need of some real hope and real change. Steve in Dallas. Well, I just find it very entertaining to hear the Republicans squealing like a bunch of stuck pigs. I really do. Oh, my. Here's to comment again when I said that, take the same-sex marriage into the Reform Rabbi synagogues. Mike, yep, most Reform rabbis do officiate at same-sex marriages in the sanctuary, under the chuppah, the wedding canopy. All right. And then Barry writes, not only Reform and Reformation branches, but even conservative Judaism supports rights for LGBT communities. Unlike Catholicism, where adherence to dogma is mandatory, there's a wide range of variation within conservative and even some Orthodox congregations that refuse to accept all aspects of Orthodoxy. It's a work in progress. Then he quotes, Barry sends me something from a couple of years ago in the Washington Post, that says a panel of rabbis gave permission Wednesday for same-sex commitment ceremonies and ordination of gays within conservative Judaism, a wrenching change for a movement that occupies the middle ground between Orthodoxy and liberalism and Judaism. All right, guys. All right, everybody. There's nothing like somebody on the radio who gets it completely wrong, which I did. Thank you for the education. I will learn once again, not to put my mouth in gear until I engage my brain. But it's still true with Muslims and Catholics. I get 2 out of 3. I mean Muslims and Christians, excuse me. No, that's very true. One should not come across like one knows what one is talking about. Let me change it. I should not come across like I know what I'm talking about unless I really do. Oh, and by the way, Bob Kincaid, there's an email here going around in that part of West Virginia where he does his program. Sent an email. We lost electricity just at airtime. Only came back moments ago. So there will be no rebroadcast of Bob Kincaid's program, I don't think, immediately following this program on the White Rose Society stream. So if you go there and there's no Head on Radio Network program from tonight, it's because the power outage is caused by this incredible storm that has slammed the Northeast. All right, time for a break. We'll be back, so do stick around. I'm going to see if I can find some other stuff that I can get wrong and put out over the air. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Malloy program. Well, I can't win for losing tonight. Paul writes in, Mike, regarding my take on the health insurance reform, such as it is. Paul writes, Mike, please don't toe the corporate party line. You know this legislation is fascist and is rewarding the insurance corporations that have screwed us for the last 40 years, especially the last 10. The reward is 30 million new victims. NAFTA, which was supposed to be revisited after 6 months, was not changed, and it is still destroying what's left of the working middle class. Mike, what I like about your show the best is when you tell the truth and tell it like it is. Please don't give us the party line when the party's wrong. Paul. Man, well, I did qualify and say I think the whole thing sucks. I'm for single payer. I'm for socialized medicine. And I thought I made that clear. I'm not celebrating what was passed by the Senate. I do admit to glee in seeing the Republicans going berserk because their obstructionist tactics only worked moderately well with the passage of this. That's all I'm saying. If this bill increases aside from forcing people to buy insurance, which, yeah, I think is an abomination. But on the other hand, I'm for, how much is our car insurance, Kathy, a year? $1,500? Yeah. I don't like paying that either, but I have to. That's mandated, I guess, by state law. Is that federal law? No, I guess it's state law. But I think all the states have to do it or they lose federal highway funds or something. So please don't misunderstand. I am not celebrating the passage of these, of this Senate thing, with unrestrained glee that something good has been done I understand the history of the passage of these kinds of pieces of legislation. I don't think NAFTA fits in there. Of course, NAFTA was a ripoff, a major, worse than a ripoff. It was a plutonium or a neutron bomb as far as the working class in this country was concerned. You know, the buildings are still there. There's just no life in them anymore, the factories and the manufacturing plants. I understand that. But I also understand the early legislation that contributed to the social safety net in this country, legislation enacted 50, 60, 70 years ago, had to be fine-tuned over the course of decades. That's all I'm saying. I'm not towing the corporate party line. Never. And I know that a lot of liberals and leftists and progressives are condemning this. So do I. But not to the extent that I'm going to be inadvertently, without design, on the same side as these filthy Republicans on anything. If Republicans started pushing for more oxygen to breathe, I would vote for more carbon dioxide or advocate for it. Okay? Enough already. Dave in Huntington Beach writes, Mike, as a podcast subscriber, I was wowed by your monologue the other day with the FU Republicans theme. The reason I'm writing to you is to alert you to a phenomenon I've observed. I've been friends with a 70-something Republican, 70-year-old, a guy who is part of a pack of people who bring their dogs to the park and sit in the shade and relax in the afternoon. However, since Obama's election, my friend has started to quote Glenn Beck's Fox show almost exclusively and has been bombarding everyone with the revolution to come talk and of Obama's communism.
And help to know you're so far away.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. You know, every Friday, I do this bit that's sponsored by Rolaids. It's a little feature story, the relief of the week. It's brought to you by Rolaids. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. But I've got two stories here that are directly related. On Wednesday, a man who spent 28 years behind bars for rape and murder that he kept saying he didn't commit walked out of a federal prison in Arizona with $75 and a bus ticket to Ohio after DNA testing showed he was innocent. Not guilty. There's a difference. He was innocent. The conviction of this guy, Donald Eugene Gates, who's now 58, was based largely on the testimony of an FBI forensic analyst whose work later came under fire and a hair analysis technique that has been totally discredited. Anyway, Gates told the Associated Press by phone after leaving the U.S. Penitentiary in Tucson, Arizona, quote, I feel beautiful, end quote. The same judge who presided over Gates' trial all those years ago ordered his release. Now, here's a guy who, had he been convicted in Texas, he would have been murdered a long time ago by the state of Texas. Had he been convicted in most of the states here in the old Confederate South, he would have been murdered by the state, and all the white folks would have walked away rubbing their hands together and saying, well, we brought justice. That's one. Here's two. James Bain, who was locked up for 35 years. You can guess the race of these two men. Locked up for 35 years for a crime he did not commit. In 1974, he was sentenced to life in prison for kidnapping a 9-year-old boy and raping him in a field. He insisted on his innocence. DNA testing came back, finally, and proved him totally innocent. Not guilty, innocent. Barry Scheck of the Innocence Project said, quote, the James Bain case tells us that we better get serious about eyewitness identification reform. That is the single greatest cause of the conviction of the innocent, end quote. Now, this guy Bain spent more time in prison than any of the inmates previously exonerated by DNA evidence nationwide. He spent the longest. He says, no, I'm not angry because I've got God. He says he's looking forward to eating a fried turkey and drinking Dr. Pepper. This brings to a total the number of inmates freed nationwide by DNA evidence to 248. A huge number of those people were convicted of murder. And had they been convicted in any state in the Old South here, they would have been executed a long time ago. And they were innocent. Not guilty. They were innocent. So I can sit here and say, yeah, how do I spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. How do they spell relief? F-R-E-E-D-O-M. So good luck, guys, with whatever's left of your life. 248 people that Barry Scheck and the Innocence Project, among others, not just Scheck, but other people, have Northwestern University journalism students who are responsible for the governor of Illinois at the time declaring a complete amnesty on all executions in the state. Granted, what do you call it? What did he grant, Kathy? He granted... oh, damn, I can't think of the word. I'm lost tonight. He commuted, thank you. He commuted all the sentences of people who were convicted and sentenced to death in Illinois. Governor George, Ryan, he's in prison now. I guess he's still in prison. Our military affairs correspondent sent this in from NBC. Over the past several years, Republicans accusing Democrats of voting against military funding bills for whatever the reason became a common line of political attack. Here's an example. John McCain, at his first presidential debate with Obama last year, McCain said, Senator Obama, who after promising not to vote to cut off funds for the troops, did the incredible thing of voting to cut off the funds for the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. End quote. So it was more than ironic to see 33 Senate Republicans, including McCain, support a filibuster last night on a military spending bill. Now, it passed in the House. Remember, we talked about $700 billion bill. But the senators, 33 of them, including McCain, supported a filibuster last night to delay. The reason they did it is so it would delay the health care bill. I swear to God, I hate these people almost to the point where it's become humor. I think it has become humor. Again for podcast trivia on the Malloy program. Ah, I caught you by surprise, didn't I, huh? You want to play? 877-996-2556. We can win 1 year's subscription to Malloy Show downloads. Free. No commercials. All right, who's our first victim? Mark is in Burlington, Vermont. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. You ready to do this?
I'll try.
Okay, here we go. What was unusual about George W. Bush's first attorney general, John Ashcroft? Was it A, he wrote and performed religious music, B, was offended by a naked breast on a statue outside the Department of Justice and ordered drapery to cover it, C, lost the 2000 Senate race to a dead man, Mel Carnahan, in Missouri, D, anointed himself with holy oil before important political events, or E, all of the above?
Mike, it's all of the above.
That's right, you
He's
got
one
it.
Weird
one weird son of a bitch, yes he was. All right, Mark, way to go. I'm gonna put you on hold, so Kathy,
all right, man.
Kathy can get the information. Thanks, Mark. In Burlington, Vermont. Wrote and performed religious music. I used to threaten Kathy with divorce if she played that Ashcroft, The Eagle Soars, or The Eagle Is Sore, or something. He did that. He was the one that the statue of, is it mercy or justice or some personification of one of mankind's higher aspirations, right? And it's done in the form of a woman whose breasts are visible in this statue. This, it was a bronze, whatever. And this freakish son of a bitch was so offended, he had it draped in a curtain. This is the kind of madness that was being born back in the early days of the Bush crime family. It was stuff like that just released this whole herd of insane people. And then when he lost the 2000 Senate race to Mel Carnahan, who was dead, everybody knew he was dead before they voted. And his wife got his office after Jean Carnahan, I believe her name was Jean, after Mel was elected. But he couldn't be sworn in because he was dead. And Ashcroft wound up as attorney general. How's that, huh? Oh, God. And Ashcroft was the one that would take a little dab of tissue and rub Crisco oil or canola oil on his parts before he would go out to an important political event. Jesus, God, these people are sick and insane. Now, earlier I read something from an emailer who said, you know, don't be too hard on the Christians and Muslims and Jews. They're not all crazy. Some of them are. They do good work. The ones that do good work are not part of the Muslim fanatics, the Christian fanatics, or the Jewish fanatics. So cut them a little slack, Mike. You know, and every time I hear something, I think to myself, yeah, you know, I probably should. Yeah, yeah. Well, sure enough, Tom in Joshua Tree, California, writes in very quickly, Mike, whenever I hear that good cop, bad cop scenario, I remember what my lawyer advised me. There's no such thing. Cops are not your friend. It's the same with those who say, let's be nice to Christians, Jews, and Muslims because there are good ones and bad ones. To me, they're all delusional, and their lives are lies. Whatever good the good Christians have done, they have done in terms of secular, liberal, and progressive reason and rationality. Justice is not a religious tenet. It is born from the Enlightenment, not the Inquisition. What I have to say to those who wish to be apologists for the religion is this. Keep it to your own damn self and get it out of my government. Get it off my money. Get it off the tail wings of American jets that bomb women and children. Get it out of our schools and start paying your damn taxes like anyone else who doesn't happen to share your delusions, fantasies, or outright butchery that the rest of us have to pay for, like it or not. If they wish to wave the flag of the good religionist, don't tell me. Go stand out in front of their churches, in front of our government buildings, and tell those murderous Christian lechers in power how wonderful the religion ought to be, even though it ain't, can't, and won't. It's made rotten. Everything it sees, touches, and imagines, be it democracy, education, health, peace, prosperity, and tranquility, all of it gone. All of it killed. And by who? Who? Atheists? Give me an effing break. Tom and Joshua Tree. Yeah. Go ahead, you guys. Play ping pong with my head. Did you hear what happened to Jim Inhofe, the psychopath from Oklahoma, the global warming denier? Oh, and by the way, I watched a little bit of Tweety Bird this afternoon. Hardball with Chris Matthews. He's a pain in the ass, too, Chris Matthews. But he had probably one of the craziest right-wingers ever in the history of America, a real neo-Nazi, a real anti-Semite, a real anti-Muslim, a real anti-immigrant, one of these Catholic Sword of Jesus people or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, Pat Buchanan. And, Tweety Bird, I think Tweety Bird was just playing with old Pat, you know, and asked him in the heat of an exchange, said, "Do you believe in evolution?" And of course, Buchanan said, "No, I didn't descend from monkeys," or something. And Pat went on. He was just raving, frothing at the mouth. I mean, literally, you could see flecks of spittle flying around the studio. I wonder how the Tweety Bird felt about that, being spat upon by this sick son of a bitch, Pat Buchanan. But Buchanan was talking about how the whole thing, the whole global warming thing, is nonsense. It's a myth. There's no oceans are not rising. The ice caps, okay, maybe there's a little bit of warming in the polar ice caps, but the Antarctic is just loaded with ice. The hurricanes didn't materialize, on and on and on. And just prior to that, on public television, I had watched part of the the news report, Lehrer McNeil. It's McNeil? No, the McNeil's gone. It's Jim Lehrer. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And they had like a 5 or 6 minute long form report on Bangladesh and what has happened over there. With the rising sea levels. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Buchanan is one of these Catholic psychopaths. I mean, he really is. He just wants the whole planet to go up in flames. And so he can sit with Jesus and talk about how all the Protestants are burning in hell and how glad he is and how all the Jews are gone and all the Muslims and all the immigrants, too. You know, Buchanan. In regard to his comments about global warming, another freak like that is this Jim Inhofe. Senator Jim Inhofe. He is the ranking Republican on the Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee. And he hauled his ass over to Copenhagen. And he went there to talk to everybody and explain that global warming is a hoax. And there's no way the Senate's going to pass a cap and trade bill, okay? So that's where I went. He flew over. When he got there, he went into his meeting, and there were a handful of his aides and one reporter. Nobody. They ignored this son of a bitch. This is how they should be treated. So he didn't have any meeting scheduled in Copenhagen. He didn't see the U.S. Negotiator, Todd Stern, or the members of the House delegation. Nothing. He showed up wearing black snakeskin cowboy boots and started talking to one reporter and his own aides. We in the United States owe it to the 191 countries to be well informed and know what the intentions of the United States are. The United States is not going to pass cap and trade. It's not going to happen. Lone reporter there from a German newspaper asked in English, "Well, if there's a hoax, then who's putting on the hoax? And what's the motive for the hoax?" Inhofe said, "Well, it started in the United Nations, and the ones United States who really grab a hold of this is the Hollywood elite." God damn. Oh, no. Kill me now. It's the Hollywood elite. Yeah. Ugh. The reporter asked Inhofe if he was referring to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Republican, California. And then the reporter from Der Spiegel told the senator, quote, "You're ridiculous," end quote. Inhofe ignored the truism. Made a few more statements, then ran to the airport for the night, or raced to the airport, it says here, for the 9-hour flight back to Washington. After he left, some reporters were still a bit confused about what had happened, who he was. A German journalist told a Japanese reporter, his name is Inhofe, but I don't know if it's spelled with one or two F's. Where do these people come from? Where do these Republican swine come from? Where do they come from? Who puts them in office? What kind of a miserable son of a bitch would vote for somebody like Inhofe? Oh, I know. I'm supposed to be reaching across the aisle. I'll reach across the aisle. Here, hold this for me while I go to the bathroom. What is it? It's a hand grenade with the pin pulled. Just hold it.
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow.
It's 10 before the hour. When we come back after the next break, we're going to open up the phone line so you can call in if you'd like and talk about stuff. Late this afternoon, early evening, New York Times website has a climate deal announced but falls short of expectations. And the Times is saying that leaders at the in Copenhagen at this climate summit had concluded a deal today that the Obama administration called meaningful. But it's, I don't know, you know, once again, if you tell the truth, you sound like a cynical son of a bitch. But it's just really, it's not there. Plus, the agreement still needs to be approved by, 190 nations that are represented there? Oh, my God. Even according to the Times, even an Obama administration official conceded, quote, it is not sufficient to combat the threat of climate change, but it's an important first step, end quote. And the Obama administration issued a statement. That statement said, quote, no country is entirely satisfied with each element, but this is a meaningful and historic step toward forward and a foundation from which to make further progress, end quote. I don't know. According to the Times, this deal, whatever it is, came after a dramatic moment in which Mr. Obama burst into a meeting of the Chinese, Indian, and Brazilian leaders, according to senior administration officials. Chinese protocol officers protested, and Mr. Obama said he did not want them negotiating in secret. Well, you got to give him credit for that. Kick open the goddamn door, Barack. You betcha. Just kick the son of a bitch down. That's good. I like that. The intrusion, according to the Times, led to new talks, and whatever this deal is, it came out of that. Brazil's senior climate negotiator confirmed that Mr. Obama had, quote, joined, end quote, a meeting of Brazilian, Indian, and Chinese and other officials. But he didn't say that Obama walked in uninvited. So are you going to believe? I tend to think that maybe Obama did just kind of force his way in. Oh, well. There's no enforcement mechanism regarding the so-called agreement. I was reading something the other day. It said the reason the global climate change deniers are so adamant, rabid in their resistance to any of this is because it's, you know, kind of like the same thing as the people who oppose the nuclear freeze movement. Because in both instances, we're talking about the total annihilation of the human species. I mean, the complete annihilation. In both instances, the planet would be unable to sustain human life. And even though most of these right-wingers are also rapture-crazed people, you'd think that they would take their religion a little bit more seriously. In the first place, all three of them, the Jews, Christians, and Muslims, were charged in the book of Genesis to take care of the earth, which they have not done. Secondly, for the Christians, the right-wing Christians, what's so bad about just rapturing on up to heaven? Why are you denying that unless something's done, the planet that God told you to take care of is just going to turn into a cinder? It's not going to be habitable anymore. What are you worried about? You'll go to heaven, right? Unless you go to hell. Oh, always that possibility, right? I guess it's a roll of the dice, right? But they can't handle it because the deniers can't, because it is an issue of annihilation. So rather than make the attempt to deal with that on some level, mechanistic, technological, spiritual, logical, you know, just confront it and say, okay, the sons of bitches deny it's even happening. And I will guarantee you that the most ardent global warming deniers are also religious fanatics. I will guarantee you that. Why am I guaranteeing it? You know it yourself. You know that. Isn't it strange that the Christian fundamentalist crazy people in this country are adamant against national health care and against trying to arrest global climate change? Frankly, I think that if their Lord and Savior were here, he would just whip out his sword and start lopping off heads and kicking men to hell. I really do. I really do. I mean, how infuriating would it be if, you know, you're the Christ? I mean, come on, you're the Christ. And these people are representing you to the rest of humanity? How pissed off would you get? I know if I were the Christ, if I were up in heaven, you know, hanging out with the old man and you know, creating solar systems and galaxies and, you know, just goofing. And I heard about people like Inhofe and these fundamentalist Christians. I would get permission to leave my Heavenly Father, and I would find the nearest unicorn and ride down out of heaven like a goddamn bolt from hell. I would. And I would carry aloft my mighty swift sword. And man, there would be heads lopped all over the place. Huh? You'd do the same thing, wouldn't you? I know you would. I know you would. But that's why they can't handle climate change, because, you know, that's why I don't talk about it. It scares the hell out of me. But these fundamentalists, they couldn't talk about climate change, and they couldn't talk about the nuclear freeze movement, because both entail complete annihilation of the human species. And they can't handle that, even though that's part of the basis of their religion, isn't it? I mean, hasn't God threatened to destroy everything in fire next time? Oy. We'll be back after the break. Take your phone calls. Lines are open. Let her rip. 7 past the hour. Welcome back. This is the Malloy Show. Regarding Senator Inhofe making such an ass of himself in Copenhagen, Don in Texas writes, Mike, the German reporter is finding out what idiots we have in this country who deny reality and will not admit it until Oklahoma City looks out over the Gulf of Mexico. And then Inhofe would say, look, what wonderful things global warming has brought us. Let's go swimming. Don, a democratic socialist in Texas. Yeah. Look what wonderful things. How do we produce these people? I'm serious. How, what, you know, what loins do these creatures slither out from between? How's that for a screwed up sentence? I'm serious. Where did they come from? At what point do these people, whether it's this crazy Beck or crazier Inhofe, I mean, at some point they must have been, you know, chubby little babies who just would wonder at their own fist or a thing hanging over their crib or a squeeze toy. What happened to them? Not that I care. I think they ought to be just, you know, sent somewhere. But I just wonder, what happened? Somebody used to cuddle them, I would imagine, change their nappies, give them a breast or a bottle. What happened that they turned into such twisted, perverted people? Oh, hell, I really don't care. Jonathan is in Melbourne, PA. Melbourne, PA?
Melbourne, M-A-L-V-E-R-N.
Melbourne, PA. Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah, hey, you guys do an awesome show. You are definitely awesome. I just don't understand, like, why these, like, how can you pretend to represent the United States when, A, you're spending trillions and billions of dollars in wars for governments that don't even function properly and apparently don't even want to. I mean, they couldn't even run their last election in any sort of a non-corrupt way. And then, like, how do you pretend to represent us and spend all this money over there when we don't even have enough for health care for, you know, Americans over here?
You keep using the pronoun you.
Well, not you. I guess I mean the general you. Of course not you. You are awesome. You specifically.
Okay. I have no idea. You have the same questions I have. I have no idea. You know, I've said before, Jonathan, I don't know how long you've been listening to this program. I don't have any answers.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so obvious that, I mean, as far as the loin question you were asking, I would say Britney Spears, because it's like... That's basically it. It's like people, like, they sit on the couch and watch Britney Spears and eat fried Twinkies, and that's, like, you know, that's more important, apparently, than global warming or the fact that 4,000 Americans die for non-existent WMDs.
I know. I don't know. Jonathan, I am, I've said before this program, I don't have any answers. I just have questions on top of questions. But, you know, they're pretty much the same questions as you would have or somebody else would have that listened to this program. I'm just absolutely, I don't know, tied in knots trying to figure out what these, the people who run this country, what they're about. Why, like this buildup in Afghanistan. What's that? What's up with that? You know, we knew pretty much what Iraq was. That was to get their oil, which we've now gotten. I guess it's a pipeline in Afghanistan, but I don't know, man. Where is Malvern, PA? I should know, but...
It's literally right next to Paoli and right next to Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
The biggest place next to it is Exton, Pennsylvania.
You're nowhere near York, Harrisburg, or Lancaster, then?
Oh, Lancaster is like a half hour away, but I wouldn't go there if you paid me, like, lots of money.
What's wrong with Lancaster?
Other than the fact that it smells like horse manure, like...
What's Amish country?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the best thing you can say about that is that they don't watch Britney Spears.
Yeah, that is good. All right, Jonathan, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in. He's right, though. Lancaster does smell like horse manure. But they have great farmers markets up there. Oh, my God. Daz is in Chicago. Hey, Daz.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's just creeping along, man. Just barely any life left in it at all. How's it going with you?
That's what happened. minute. It's an honor to talk to you, but
Oh man, it's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah, I'm a first time caller, a long time listener, and I have a question about whether you've seen. Now, this is somebody that I generally agree with and respect, but Jesse Ventura has a show on True TV.
Yeah, I've heard about this. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard about
conspiracy
it.
Conspiracy theory, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, his first show was about a death ray somewhere in Alaska, which doesn't too much surprise me.
A death ray?
Yeah.
Daz. You're breaking up pretty bad. Are you near the base of your phone? I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because you're breaking up. But go ahead, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so his second one was about 9/11.
Yeah.
And now his third one, which I didn't watch, because it was about global warming.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I haven't watched it because global warming and conspiracy theory, those two, you know, I would watch anything with that, you know, with conspiracy theory tied to it. Because, I mean, there's no conspiracy. I mean, the science is there, like you've been saying.
Right.
You know, all the time. So I'm just wondering if you had checked it out or your thoughts on it.
No, I haven't, and I'm going to do it, Daz, because I don't know what his position is on those, you know, like on 9/11. I think it was something other than the way it was presented. And Daz, I'm going to let you go because your phone was getting just a little bit too weird. I hope you call again, though. Thanks, Daz. I don't know what Jesse Ventura thinks about what occurred in this country, September 11, 2001, but in the past, what I've liked about Jesse Ventura is that he's, you know, he's no BS. He just says it. And if folks don't like it, no matter who they are, maybe liberals don't like it. Maybe conservatives don't like it. I don't know. But he's straight ahead. And I know, you know, somebody could say, well, Chuck Norris is straight ahead. Yeah, but Chuck Norris is a psychopath. He's a deformed, morally, screwed up idiot. Jesse Ventura, I don't know. I certainly would love to go have a beer with him. I'd like to get into a bar fight with him. Not him and me, but the two of us against somebody else. Of course, I wouldn't do anything. I would just sit there. But I would like to watch him, you know, beat the snot out. I could pick three or four people. I would love to be in a bar with Jesse Ventura and have Glenn Beck walk in and Sean Hannity. Of course, Hannity probably doesn't hang out with Beck. Hannity hates Beck. But, you know, pick a fight with him and then have Jesse Ventura just clunk both their heads together and toss him to the curb. That didn't come out right. That's essentially what I mean. Adam is in Houston, Texas. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Milo. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I know. Another day. I'm from Canada. I drive truck for a living.
Uh-huh.
And long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thanks for listening.
Oh, you're a wonderful man. Yeah, you know, I see the debate and I hear all the time, left and right.
Hey, Adam, can you hold on?
All right.
All right, let me put you on hold because we have to do a break here. And then we'll come back and pick it up with you. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. The sale from Saturn's here. The best deals ever on Saturn. $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle, or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. 22 past the hour. Back to Adam in Houston, Texas. All right, Adam, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
All right, Mike. I'm very outraged. Republicans, they spend $1 trillion to kill Saddam Hussein, just one person. And to spend that kind of money covers 50 million Americans. Healthcare. They are screaming and yelling about that. And as you said before, few millionaires and billionaires own your country, and they own the media, they own everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Well, it is. It's a major problem. But you know what? A lot of Americans, Adam, just don't care enough to do anything about it. And we just continue to let the corporatists and to let these right wingers dictate how we live our lives. It's a shame. I don't know how this country ever got this way. You were brought up in Canada?
No, I came from Ethiopia. You know, when Silvio Berlusconi mm-hmm. Became a president in Italy, I was in Italy, and mm-hmm. He did the same thing. He owned a bunch of media.
Right.
And 2 months later, he became a prime minister, because he manipulates the public opinion.
How long did you live in Italy?
I lived 5 years.
Five? And did you go directly from there to Canada?
Yeah. So when I was in Italy, Ethiopia at that time, it was a communist regime.
Uh-huh.
So they gave us a choice to come to U.S. or Canada or Australia.
How many languages do you speak, for God's sake?
About five.
I was going to say Italian. What is the language of Ethiopia?
Amharic.
Amhari.
Yeah.
And have you learned how to speak Canadian yet?
Yeah, I'll try.
Well, you have great English. How long have you been in Canada?
About 15 years.
Uh huh. And where's your next stop going to be?
I don't know. I'll go back home.
You're gonna stay in Canada, or are you gonna go back to Ethiopia?
We settled in Canada. I love Canada. It's a fair society.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
I know.
Liberals are, in power for a long time.
Are you married? Have children?
I got 4 kids.
And they all live in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. What an interesting story you have to tell, huh? Did you have trouble as an Ethiopian going to Italy, though, after what they did in your country all those years ago?
Oh, that's history,
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to leave that behind and just keep forward,
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to move to Canada, man, you can come.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, Adam. All right, listen, drive safely on your way home, okay?
Okay, Mike, thanks.
All right, sir, thank you, and thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in when you're driving. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Amhari, Italian, English, Canadian. I'm kidding about the Canadian. Don't get all pissed off now and say, well, I bet he's had a very interesting life. Could you do that? Could you leave your home country? Probably your ancestral country. Go someplace and learn a brand new language and customs, Italy. Spend 5 years there, leave again, go someplace, learn brand new customs, new language. It just reminds me of, any immigrant family, my family, when they came from Italy. Well, my uncle, my grandfather, but he had brothers and sisters. Two came here. One went to South Africa. And one went to Brazil? I think Brazil. They never saw each other again, but it would be very interesting to go, for me, to go to these countries and find cousins that I'll, I'll never meet them. But the courage it takes to do that, you know what I'm saying? We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Trivia coming up right after this break.
He went to fight wars for his country and his king, of his honor and his glory, the people would sing. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he
when
was.
Heartburn.
Once again, for the third round of Malloy Trivia tonight, if you win, you get a one-year free subscription to podcast downloads of this program. All I have to do is come up with the right answer. Ah! All right, let's try it. Who's the first in the barrel here? Stephen in Burbank, how many times have you tried?
Once.
How many times have you tried, Stephen?
I've tried once.
Oh, is that all? Just once? All right. All right, you ready to try again?
No, but I'll go with my wild guess procedure.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. No, you don't want to try?
I do want to try.
Oh,
I'll
you
try.
Do? Okay.
But it's going to be a wild guess because okay. I don't know anything.
All right. Well, you're the type of person I love having listen to this program. That makes two of us. All right, here you go. You ready?
Yes.
Who is Cindy Sheehan? Is she A, brain-dead hospitalized Texas woman whom Tom DeLay turned into a political issue when the court sided with her husband's decision to pull the plug? B, mother of Iraq war victim Casey, who made a camp outside Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas and demanded a meeting with W. C, former Bush advisor and failed Supreme Court nominee. Or D, current Speaker of the House.
Oh, God.
A
as in bear.
B. B.
Casey.
You got it. All right. Finally. I know this is your seventh or eighth try. Come on, don't BS me. I know you've tried a bunch of times, right?
Well, I tried with other callers, and they got it right, and I got it wrong. But I wasn't actually talking to you at the time on the line.
You got it this time. So what do you do in Burbank? Isn't that Television City?
Oh yeah. Well, today I went to Warner Brothers, and I drive by NBC and Disney, and I'm thinking, look at all this media, you know.
You don't work in that media, Stephen?
The only media I work in is what I'm doing right here, right now.
Oh, I see. All right, well, that's cool. Now, what you really called about?
Was about the reasons why things are the way they are.
Oh, God, tell me, quick.
Okay. Well, you know, the pyramid at the top of the heap, the top of the ladder,
yeah.
the alpha dog, there are 6.5 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
There's not enough raw materials. There's not enough resources for all of those people to have Learjets, 40-acre estates, yachts to sail in the Mediterranean.
Right.
And things like that there. And those people that have those things want to keep those things.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they're pressing down on everybody else in the rest of the world, pitting us against each other. You know, like, you know, immigrants against, you know, African-American citizens here in this country.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Afghani Taliban against the Northern Alliance. I mean, it's all
a game run by the elites. Would it be good to eliminate the elites?
There can be a way to do it. It can be peaceful if the people understood what the game was all about. I mean, You look back in history and look at the corrupt manufacturing, you know, that helped finance World War One on both sides, you know, just feeding them into the meat grinder. If we understood that, then maybe we wouldn't want to just, you know, play their game all the time.
Do you ever get tired of thinking about this stuff?
No.
You don't?
I keep thinking about it because I'm trying to find out the magic buzzword, the secret formula that snaps them out of the trance. Because the way they think is, first of all, we're kind of like born with a herd mentality, but yet some of us rise above that and get beyond it. And because we are social beings, we are social animals, you know, we group with each other. And because we are of a group, we must be against a separate group that gives us, you know, reason for being something. Because, well, how can we live if we aren't afraid of something? Because we have to have fear to be motivated to do things.
This is making my head hurt.
Well, it's kind of like psychology, you know. I think Sigmund Freud had something to do with it. R.D. Lang had something to do with it.
Yeah. R.D. Lang? You don't mean R.D. Lang, do you?
I used to know his first and middle name, but I forgot it because I'm a ditz brain.
I thought R.D. Lang was a country singer.
That's Katie Lang, and she spelled it with lowercase letters for some strange reason. Maybe she didn't want to beat some egomaniacal personality.
You sure it wasn't? Okay.
But anyway,
no, I'm kidding, Stephen. I'm
okay.
Kidding.
By the way, I'm going to buy your book.
All right, man. I love that. Hey, listen, we hold on?
Okay.
All right, let me put you on hold. Kathy will get the pertinent information. And nice going. You win. I like that. That's good. That's good that you won. It's always better to win, right? I think it's better to win. Mac is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, Mac.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
Hi.
Good to talk to you.
Okay, take care. No, wait. All right, you know, we already got our winner on trivia.
I know.
You wanna...
Well, hey, listen, I'm a long-time listener, and I'll call you back again when I have another chance.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks, Mac. Appreciate it. It must be colder than a well digger's ass in Ann Arbor right now. Oh, man. That's a beautiful city, though. University of Michigan. Ann Arbor. Email here from David in Denver, who writes, Mike, I gained more understanding about Oklahoma and the surrounding states quite accidentally when I read John Grisham's true story titled An Innocent Man. If any of your listeners haven't read it, it's worth the read. It's not for the story, which is excellent, and for the insight into how really backward the people and particularly the law enforcement folks there really are. I'm afraid we can look forward to more Inhofe's and Tom Coburn's. When I drive through on I-40 going from Colorado to visit my mother in North Georgia, I only stop for gas and food if necessary. I will not spend any more time or money there than I have to. Screw those people. David in Denver. Well, all except Bart Cop and anyone. Well, no. Also, Gordon in Oklahoma City, our man. We've got, you know, there's some good people in Oklahoma City. They just get stuck there. But I know what you're talking about. Gordon went on the cruise with us 1,000 years ago when we all went to Mexico. Remember that? And Bart Kopp has been a close personal friend for over a decade. Who else is out in Oklahoma that, I don't know. It is kind of a sad state, though. It really is. When we were in Chicago one time, we had to go to Dallas, Fort Worth, and just for the hell of it, we decided to drive, and we drove through Oklahoma. And it was just sad. It's a sad place. I don't know. The white European terrorist who blew up the Murrah Federal Building was European-American terrorist who blew up the federal building, the Christian European-American terrorist who blew up and killed 168 people. Maybe that's what made it so sad. But I remember, you know, here in Georgia, we have huge trees. And in California, they have huge, huge trees. And in the state of Washington, all up and down the West Coast, big, big-ass trees. We have big-ass trees here, too. When you get to Oklahoma, there are no trees. Some little scrubby trees. Maybe that was it. But I think part of it, we went by the memorial in Oklahoma City where the white European-American Christian in an act of terror, blew 168 people into oblivion. Children, men, women, you know, didn't make any difference. This is what terrorists will do. Christian terrorists, Islamic terrorists, don't make any difference. You know, just poof, gone. But to actually see the place where this white European-American Christian terrorist blew up and murdered 168 people it just casts this sadness to me. I'm just talking about me. I don't know about you. You know, you might love Oklahoma, but it just made the whole state seem so sad and kind of thick with the grieving. Of course, when we went through, when we went through Oklahoma, it was, the bombing had, I forget what the time frame was, from the bombing to when we drove through there, but just to know that you were driving through a place where a white European American Christian decided, in an act of rage or frustration or whatever, to kill as many people as he could with a truck bomb. It was just, made the whole place just thick, you know, that kind of sadness. Mike is in Port Angeles, Washington. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Big fan, long-time listener here.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. What's up?
Well, you know, I had a couple comments. The first one is that the Jesse Ventura show is called Conspiracy Theory on True TV.
Yeah.
And that place up in Alaska that he was talking
right.
investigating is called the HAARP Project. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that's a weather altering.
Right. Well, apparently the military has got a hold of it, and you can't get in there without getting shot anymore, and we don't know what they're doing over there. And he was just talking to some people that...
Hey, Mike, hold on a second. Wait, I got to do a break here. Will you hold on?
Yeah.
Okay, let me put you on hold. We'll come back and get you after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. There's a shadow hanging over me. I'm not half the man I used to be. But the ones who are directly involved here, our military affairs correspondent is Sharon Gordy. Our economic affairs dude is Bruce Enberg. Kate Petrini handles education issues. Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, ethics advisors. The program is engineered by Catherine Bay, who's also the executive producer. Don't forget, when this program's over, stick around for Bob Kincaid, Head on Radio Network. We'll be streaming from Ben Birch's White Rose Society. Web link. And I've said this several times. If you haven't heard Head on Radio, Shame on you. Stick around, listen to it. All right, Mike had called in from Port Angeles. All right, Mike, thanks for holding on.
Okay, thanks a lot. I was going to say the first thing was the Jesse Ventura show, but she was going on about the HAARP project being used for military reasons that affecting weather and causing chaos to wherever the government wants to cause chaos. I have no idea if there's any truth to that or not. But I know that there's something there, and it's protected, and we can't get into it, and we're not supposed to know exactly what it is, and we're being told
well, apparently,
other than what's there.
Yeah, apparently, I got an email from Jim in Columbus that said on the global warming show, Ventura said the whole thing is just crap, and Al Gore is just running a money-making scam. Really?
Well, I didn't watch that because I knew as soon as Jesse went to the global warming thing,
yeah,
he lost all his street cred with me right there. So
really? I didn't know what his position was, but Jim in Columbus writes, I always liked Jesse, but this show is off the chart. I won't be watching any more of this crap.
So to make money, I'm going to say that the world's going to be destroyed unless you funnel money what to Al Gore? Is that how that works? I don't understand.
I don't either.
It's kind of like an evil genius plan to me. So
I guess.
Would be better off fighting.
Why is it that people have a hard time accepting science?
Well, I think what you have here is because we're talking about end of the world scenarios based in science.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been told, and people just can't deal with it, even
because their religious beliefs tell them that is not how the world will end. The world will end in a completely different scenario. Therefore, anything that differs from their religious book is not true, and they are not going to believe it.
Really?
That's what I think. Yes, I think it goes down to the book of Revelation, and unless it fits into that mold, and global warming sure the hell doesn't fit into that mold, they won't believe it until I think that the belief will come when we lose a couple million lives in the next 50 years. If something like that happens, it may be too late. But then I think people would say, you know what, I'm willing to bite off a little bit of this and start maybe believing that just maybe something might be going on, since Alaska's in my backyard now.
Well,
I think that's what...
Wait a minute. You can see... Yeah, I was going to say, if you can see Alaska from your backyard, that means you're a polar bear.
Well, right. And the thing is, I don't understand the science of global warming, but I don't have to. I'm not a scientist. I trust people whose entire education and life is in these kind of sciences.
Well, I think the basic elements are not really that difficult. Industrialization resulted in the production, overproduction of so-called heat-trapping gases, the biggest offender of which is CO2. And that is encased the planet, so to speak, in this little envelope of gas that can't or won't dissipate. It takes forever. And that the sunlight pouring in, it doesn't escape, and it just heats things up.
You can't industrialize the entire planet and put out as much as we are in carbon emissions and not expect something to change drastically. It has to. It just common sense tells you something has to really change.
Right.
But I don't think we're going to do anything until something drastic happens. I know there's a glacier or mountain in India they're predicting within the next 10 years is going to be gone, and that's the major source of water for much of
I think I saw that report. I think it was
that's
on
like 80 million or something people are going to be looking for some water to drink, and are going to be heading out everywhere. So
that's the part my hey, listen, Mike, I gotta leave there, we're almost out of time. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in. Okay.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Have a good time. I'll be listening.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Take care. The science is there. This is why, you know, Mike may be right. It's the religion that screws it up, as has always, you know, like Carl Sagan said, had it not been for the pressure applied by the church, the Roman Catholic Church, during the so-called Dark Ages in this sad planet's history, we would already be star travelers. But that's the reason, obviously, that religion to me is so vile. if somebody wants to have a spiritual belief, have at it or whatever. But why does it have to interfere with... Hey, listen, have a good weekend, okay? It's probably going to rain or snow wherever you are, but I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.